to you this morning for a few minutes from Matthew chapter 13. I had been going through the book of Matthew, starting with the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount some time ago, and doing that on Sunday night. But I kind of rolled into doing some of it on Sunday morning. So I'm kind of doing Sunday morning and Sunday night in the book of Matthew. So if you'll turn with me to chapter 13. Talking about the condition of the heart, Jesus' parable of the sowers. You know, Jesus was the master storyteller. He was the master. And his stories have great meaning. And so I want us to see that this morning. When I was thinking about this parable of the sowers, some call it, you know, those who sow seed, plant seed. And then others say this is the parable of the soil. And I was thinking about dirt. And I thought, you know what? You and I are made of dirt. We really are. Because it says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, then the Lord formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. So you're dirt. I'm dirt. And what appropriately Jesus would talk about dirt. It's the story, really, of the condition of our heart is really what he's talking about. A parable has been described as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But why did Jesus use stories? Why didn't he just use plain language? I mean, why do you have to go around and you make a story? Well, his disciples wanted to know that too. And down in verse 10, they asked that question. And Jesus explained why that he hid or put a disguise on the truths of his word. And I'm going to cover more of that tonight. But in short, Jesus gave understanding to people who believed him and placed faith in him, and he kept it, the truth, veiled to those who had already rejected him. And so he was drawing a line between true believers and the unbelieving crowd. We see that in verse 12. It says, for to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. To those who believe Jesus and have received him by faith, he says more understanding would be given. To those who rejected Jesus, even the things they thought they knew would be taken away. Those who know Jesus, those of us who know Jesus as our Savior, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. At least we have the capacity to do that if we'll put the time in it. We've got to do our part to put the time in it. When Jesus spoke of this parable of the soil to the audience in front of him at that time, he hid the meaning of it from those who had already rejected him. And like I say, I'll say more about that later tonight, but let's consider as God's people this parable in Matthew 13, beginning with verse 1. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gather about him, so he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, what Jesus is speaking about here, as I said earlier, is the various conditions of the heart. We know this for sure by the explanation that he gave his disciples when they asked him that question about why he was telling stories. And that explanation begins in verse 18. We'll look at that a little bit at a time. But Jesus, in this story, Jesus is clearly the one sowing the seed, and the seed is the message of salvation. And the message is God will save and redeem sinners through Christ. That is the good news of the message, right? But the people then, and people today, for whatever reason or the other, they either receive or reject the message according to what condition their heart is in to receive it and understand. That was so puzzling to Jesus' disciples. They watched Jesus teach and preach this good news, and yet many people were either rebelling against what he was saying, or they were just kind of casually responding to him, kind of lukewarm. Jesus' diagnosis of the situation is that the problem of rejection is not a problem with the seed, and it's not a problem with the one sowing the seed. The problem is the soil. Or in other words, the problem is not with the gospel, and it's not with those sharing the good news. The problem is the condition of the human heart. Now let me pause right there to remind us that if we're being faithful to share the good news, and it seems that people are just not interested, the problem is not with the gospel, and the problem is not with you. The problem is with the heart of the person you're sharing the gospel with at that moment. I'm not saying God won't change that heart and allow you to share the gospel and later that person give his heart to Jesus. But at that moment, if you feel like they're just not interested, then remember it's not you and it's not what you're sharing, okay? That should be encouragement to us today. Our job is not to save people. I've heard Christians say that before. You know, well, the preacher saved somebody. I hope the preacher didn't save anybody. Because if the preacher saved him, it wouldn't stick. No, God does the saving. We don't. Our job is just to sow the seed of the gospel. God does the saving in His time and His way. Now, let's consider these four types of heart conditions that we see in this passage today. First off, there is the hard heart. The hard heart. We saw that in verse 4. Said, as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Now, Jesus' explanation to his disciples and to us is down in verse 19, where it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. There are folks that are hardened against the gospel for whatever reason. They're hardened against the gospel message. The good news of the gospel is shared with them and they just flatly reject it. And so Jesus is saying that Satan comes and snatches the good news of the kingdom away from them. Remember though, it wasn't the one who shared it and it wasn't the gospel. It's just that the person rejected it, and Satan stole the good news from his heart. Give you an example. I used to work in Memphis with an old diamond setter from New York City. He was Jewish. He did fabulous work. I mean, beautiful diamond setting. I just loved to see. I was just amazed at his talent. And anytime I worked right down the street from him, where my shop was at. So anytime I had any special diamond setting to do, I'd take it down there and let him do it because it turned out beautiful. But he was a gruffy old man. And I butted heads with him a few times before I learned better. But one day, I worked up the nerve to try to witness to him. And he quickly told me to save my breath, he wasn't interested. I mean, just like that, immediately. Wouldn't let me get hardly three words out of my mouth. Hard heart. Hard heart. Now, he passed away some years later, and I only hope that someone got through to him, but I fear not. Because this man was in his 80s when he did that. Why would somebody be so hard against the gospel? That's hard for us to understand, is it not? Why would they be so hard? Well, for my old Memphis friend, like I said, he was a Jew, so I kind of understand that. The Jews were always hardened against the gospel. But why would somebody be so hardened today? Well, it could be the fact that they had a bad experience with a church, or unfortunately, they looked at how some Christians live and act, and so they decided they didn't want any of that. They were okay like they are. I've heard people say that before. There's a lot of questions, a lot of reasons that someone might have a hard heart when it comes to rejecting or receiving, actually, the gospel of Christ, the hard heart. Well, Jesus also talked about a superficial heart here. Superficial. Verse 5, he said, other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. The sun rose and they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Now, Jesus' explanation to his disciples and to us is down in verse 20. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, he immediately falls away. Superficial heart. This kind of heart receives the message and responds to it joyfully even, but they never grow beyond that because they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God to stand strong in their new faith. They never sink their teeth into the Word. They make a decision, it looks like, to everybody around them, oh, praise the Lord, they got saved and everybody's happy, but nothing ever goes beyond that. And so, as Jesus said, when persecutions and trials and these things come in up in life, they have no root down in anything to stand on, and they fall away. In this description of this kind of soil, Jesus had in mind a thin layer of earth covering a ledge of rock. The seed would hit this kind of soil, and it would spring up immediately. But as soon as the hot sun came out, started blazing on this plant day after day, it soon withered away. You can't help but think today about, have you ever heard of easy believism? That's something that's thrown around in seminary a lot. Easy believism. That means just, in other words, just say this prayer and you'll be saved. It's simple. Just say this prayer. Just come shake the preacher's hand. Just come walk the aisle and you'll be saved. But then a year or two, maybe more, it becomes clear that the heart of that person never truly received the message and they failed to submit to the rule and reign of God in Christ. And so when things got tough, that was it. George Whitefield. You ever heard of George Whitefield? Well, some of us really pious people have. George Whitefield was a passionate and powerful preacher of way back in history at the First Great Awakening. I don't know if that's the 1500s or the 1600s. It's back there somewhere. He used to preach to these massive crowds. Like I dream we'll be in here someday, a massive crowd, standing room only. Maybe when I leave it'll happen. Maybe if I'll just leave. Now, I'm kidding. I'm not thinking about leaving. Boy, you say stuff like that and people start thinking, well, what's he thinking about? Well, what's on his mind? And you won't listen to anything else I'm saying this morning Don't do that. But George Whitefield, he used to preach to these massive crowds numbering in the thousands, and people were greatly affected by his evangelistic method. I mean, he was a strong preacher. But when Whitefield was asked how many people were saved, he would say, "We'll see in a few years." We'll see in a few years. The point is not that people needed to earn their salvation and it's going to take them a few years to earn it. He was talking about it being demonstrated. He was talking about, yes, those people came to the crusade and they walked down and they got saved. Well, how many were saved? Well, we'll see. We'll see if it sticks, right? We'll see if they really understood. We'll see if they were serious or not. You and I have both seen this to be true, have we not? I wonder sometimes, and I thank God for Billy Graham. I used to love to hear Billy Graham preach, and he did so much good, and I believe that thousands and thousands of people are saved today because of Billy Graham. But I wonder how many of those people walked down in the fleur of the moment to make a decision for Christ and they weren't really saved. They just went right back out in the world. Only one time in my ministry, but actually my first church, there was a guy that called me up one day, surprised me as all get out, Laura, just surprised me. He said he had watched a Billy Graham crusade and he gave his heart to Jesus and he wanted to come talk to me about being baptized. I like to fell out of my chair. That never happens. Usually, maybe to some other preacher, but it never happened to me and hadn't happened since then. But there are many who did, but I wonder how many. Well, the first two heart conditions that we've talked about, the hard heart and the superficial heart, those are both cases of a person being saved or is likely that they got saved. The hard heart, though, flatly rejected the gospel. The superficial heart appeared to decide for Christ, but the fact that this person drifted away proves that their decision probably wasn't real. And granted, we can't be judges of that, can we? Only God knows. We can't just judge somebody and say, well, they don't ever come to church, so they must not be saved. We cannot be judges of that. We don't know that. Only God knows that, right? And they know that. The next two heart conditions describe people who are saved, but one of these is not too solid. The third one is the divided heart. Verse 7 says, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Jesus explained in verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, he said, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The divided heart describes the one that hears the word, but there's no room for the word of God in their heart because the cares and the wealth of the world are too consuming for that person. The things of the world are just too attractive, and they have no time or no room in their life for the things of God. Now, I'm not talking about evil things. You say, well, that person, he goes and spends all of his time drinking and this, that, and the other. No, it may be good things, not necessarily evil things. But even those good things in that person's life rank much higher in priority than other things and higher in priority than the Word of God, so the Word gets choked out. Now, don't miss the imagery of what Jesus is saying here. His use of the word thorns, we don't want to miss this. Thorns, they don't just spring up overnight and choke out everything around them. It's a slow thing. It's a slow thing. That thorns will gradually grow up almost unknowingly and slowly drain the life out of the plants around it. That's how a heart that was once for Jesus becomes lukewarm or even cold to church and the things of God. One by one, this event gets added, this project gets added, this hobby gets added, or work gets in the way, one by one, and suddenly there's no time for Jesus. Now, Jesus still holds an important part, if you ask him, but he gets pushed down the priority list when things become more important. Now, that describes a lot of Christians today, does it not? Our lives, and there's so many things in the world to do, isn't there? So many things in the world that can crowd out Jesus. I mean, this is a clear warning for Christians today, especially those who live in prosperity. And you say, well, I'm not rich, preacher. I don't live in prosperity. You do. When you compare the United States with most countries around the world, we are the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth, are we not? And because we are, we've got to be careful that we don't let all of the things that are available to us crowd out Jesus. We've got to be careful about that, don't we? The desire for and the consumption of money and things divides and eventually can destroy the heart. Here's the last one, the fruitful heart. That's the one that we should strive for, right? That's the good one. The fruitful heart, that's the most desirable. Verse 8 says, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Jesus explained down in verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60 and 30. This is the fruitful heart that hears the word and understands it and bears fruit as a result. Jesus used that 30, 60, 100-fold thing there, increasing in verse 23 that we just read, because it varies by how much fruit that person will produce. But nevertheless, they're producing fruit. Jesus said, my word falls on good soil, the good heart, the heart that is ready to receive from him. And he says, as a result, that person is fruitful in the kingdom of God. That's the desirable thing, isn't it? Don't you want to be fruitful for Jesus? Don't you want to be useful for Jesus? That's what I want more, I think, than anything, Robert. I want to be useful for Jesus, doing something. Not just this. I could say, well, I preach every Sunday. Bless God, I'm doing everything for Jesus right here. That does not excuse me from my Christian responsibilities, does it? It does not. The question then becomes, what kind of heart do you have? Now, you've heard me this morning. I hope you have. I hope you come every Sunday to listen and I'm not just up here putting on some kind of performance, although I enjoy it and I crack a joke now and then. It's fun. It is fun for me. I like it. But I'm not just up here putting on a performance. I'm trying to deliver the Word of God. And I pray that God will let me do that every Sunday. That's what I want. I want God to speak to us, not just Keith, right? So what kind of heart do you have? Are you rejecting the message of the kingdom? like the hard heart? Did you make a decision back there somewhere and pray a prayer years ago that has no real meaning in your life today? Did you do that? Is it just a superficial knowledge of Jesus? If so, what I want to urge you today, and listen to me and look at me here just a minute. Are we focused? I want you to give your heart to Jesus. I don't care how old you are or how young or where you're at or how long you think you've been saved. If you made a decision back there years ago and it was simply a walk the aisle, shake the preacher's hand, and get baptized, and nothing really much happened beyond that, I want you to give your heart to Jesus. I want you to give your heart to Jesus. Now there's a message here for those who are already saved. One of the ways that we bear fruit is sowing seed. Sowing seed. And do you know that there are so many things available to us to sow seed? It's insane for us to say that we don't know how. It's really crazy. I had Joe to put out these tracks that you see here, and there's some back there on that table. That's an easy thing to do. You just grab this. This one's called The Way. This, if you'll hand this to somebody and they read it, this tells them how to know Jesus. And maybe you want to just pick one of these up for yourself. But it's easy. Just hand this to someone. Say, hey, I go down to First Baptist Church in Lexington. We'd love to have you on Sunday. Just hand it to them. How simple is that, right? Hey, I'd love you to know about Jesus. Would you just take that and read that when you can? That's how my dad got saved at 70 some odd years old. I think he was 73. Because I talked to him all the time about being saved, and he always just blew me off. Don't pay attention to them flickering lights. That's the devil. It is. But Dad would just blow me off, and I'd say, one day I was at his house, and I said, Dad, just take this, just read it one day when you're here by yourself. And I said, read through that, and I said, there's a prayer at the end that'll guide you. And I said, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, just read this. And he was agreeable to that. Most people are, by the way. Most people will take your tract. One Saturday morning when I was studying for Sunday sermon like I normally do on Saturday morning, my phone rung and my dad said, hey, Keith. I said, hey, what's going on? He said, I did it. I said, what'd you do? He said, I prayed that prayer in the back of that book. I gave my heart to Jesus. I was speechless at that point. I was crying. I was so excited. I'd been talking to that man all of my life to give his heart to Jesus. And he gave his heart to Jesus. And I got to baptize him. That was wonderful. You can do that too, can't you? Somebody that you know. You wanted to witness to them. You wanted to say something to them a long time. And you can take one of these. There's several to choose from. There's even one here for kids. Simple Steps to the Savior, it's called. You can do that, can't you? I can do that. That's simple. That's just simple. So, this is one way that we can be fruitful for Jesus, can't we? And so you pick up one of these on the way out today. Sowing seed is how we win people to Jesus, right? Let's stand together and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity And I pray that we heard from you today, that we really examined our hearts today to make sure that we don't fall in any category but that last one. And Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to take a step, trust you as their Savior, that they join me down here in the front in just a moment. It's not the fact that they've walked the aisle or that I've prayed with them or anything, but it's what has already happened in their heart. And I pray that that would be done today and they not be shy about that or backward. So, Father, I pray that you just take control of this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.